This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Raise Your Game. Guess who? Shankar Santhiram from EQTD Consulting in our lifelong series.
Forever. 9 year series this. Started in 2009, never ending.
This series is Success Consciousness. And our 10th session is about getting connected to why you work. Yeah. So yes, Shankar, welcome back. It is October.
Yes.
Right? But it says here in August.
I have no idea. Oh, right. So whoever writes notes for me needs to be fired.
So in September.
Oh, no, I didn't come in September because it was Malaysia Day on my third Monday.
So there you go.
It is correct.
It is correct.
So you missed me.
I do.
We had a 1 month hiatus.
So in August, we discussed lesson 9, which is confidence at work.
Yep.
As usual, main points, recap. Keep it short.
Three main points, but keep it short. Famous last words. I mean, like, come on, Frida. 9 years. You know there's no such thing as keep it short with me. I'll try. First, I think we need to prepare. I reminded everyone, we actually need to prepare to be confident. It's like everything else, you know. You need to prepare yourself for learning. You need to prepare yourself for marriage. You need to prepare yourself for the new government. So your expectations are matched in your head. And that's, I think, something which a lot of people don't get. They think that confidence is something which will just show up. Confidence is something that you cultivate. But before you cultivate and before it actually actualizes itself in you, you have to actually be prepared. Modern life is really complicated and you are expected to do so many things on a daily basis. If you are unprepared, your confidence is going to be severely dented. So one of the first things I do in my coaching sessions as well as in my training and management consulting sessions is getting companies and individuals to be ready for that particular confidence, which means be prepared in your mind. That's the first thing. Knowledge. I often equate confidence with competencies. The more competent you become at doing something, the more confident you get. 9 years ago, when I first started my sessions with you, I would have spent hours and hours and hours freaking out and mulling over and thinking about how my 20-minute or half an hour session would be. Now I just get in the car, turn up, and then see how it goes now, you know? I think I've become more confident at doing this. I mean, some of you out there might not think that, but I personally think I'm a bit competent. So increasing your knowledge base always helps you develop confidence. You know what you're talking about. You also know what you are expecting, and you also know what other people are talking about. So that helps you. So that's the second thing. And of course, the third and perhaps most pertinent thing that we all need to remember is understanding fear. Mm. Fear is a real bummer, you know, for a lot of us. When we become debilitated by fear, we don't manifest confidence in anything that we do. So perhaps what we need to think about is understand the psychology of fear. I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. I'm not interested in talking about this out of turn, but I know what I do. As far as fear is concerned, I don't fight fear. I know that I am fearful of something, but I circumvent it or I try to surmount it by being more prepared, by understanding fear and accepting the fact that I am going to be fearful doing something new or trying this. That puts me in a slightly different state of mind, and that helps me cultivate the confidence again.
Right.
So this is what I talked about.
And sometimes I purposely know that this is something that's going to scare the bejeebies out of me.
Absolutely.
And I said, but I want to do it.
Yeah. Anyways, and I think Bob Proctor, who's a famous management expert, once said that if you try new ideas, if something new, if you want to do something new, it must do two things simultaneously. It must excite you beyond your own expectations and it must freak you out. If you find that you are more excited and less fearful, I find that when I get too excited and not fearful, many of the projects that get involved don't succeed the way I want them to succeed. I need it to be a little bit more fear than excitement. More fear means I prepare more. More fear means I think more. More fear means I concentrate more and I focus more. And that helps me actually succeed. So when you find yourself being a little bit more fearful than excited, I think it's a good deal.
Yeah. See, but Bob Proctor didn't use the word bejeebies.
Should have.
Mm-hmm. So this week, we'll be discussing lesson number 10, get connected to why you work. How do you get connected to why you work? Why is this important?
It's really important, Ben. What is the biggest bane in our life? Disconnected people. You go to a restaurant, and the owner doesn't take any interest in you and thinks that he or she is doing you a favor because you've, you know, by just being there, you ask for something and they don't tell you. So, for example, I go into a steak place and I say, I'd like my... I mean, I'm quite peculiar with my steaks. I like them medium rare, which I think a lot of people out there might like as well, as we develop a taste for good food. But I also like it very, very seared and crisp on the outside. Mm. It's very easy if you buy a 400, 500 gram steak because it's fairly thick. But if you're buying a small 200 gram steak, like I am at the moment trying to lose more weight, so I'm not going on the behemoth steaks, but I'm doing a 200. Many of the owners will, or the waiters and waitresses in a shop will tell you, oh, can't be done, or I'm not sure, or the chef will say it's a bit difficult to do. What I like is when I go to a place, and I go to this particular steak place in Hartamas called Butcher Kerry, and a guy called Yusuf Kerry. I like going there. I mean, it's no thrills, no frills. It's not one of your, you know, atas places. Mm. It's very, very ordinary, very reasonable. I like the prices. They're very, very good. But more important than anything else is the fact that the owner and chef, the griller, the master griller, Yusuf, is completely connected with what he's doing. Mm. So if I tell him, he will stare at me. He will look and go like, you know how hard that is, right? Mm. For me to get a 200 gram steak to be medium rare on the inside and seared crisp on the outside. But okay, la macha, I'll try and do something for you. You know, I mean, I know him, so he says that. No, but with other customers, he obviously drops the matcha and goes like, okay, sir, I'll see what I can do. Or alternatively, he will always tell me things like this, you know, I'll get you, don't do the ribeye because it's flat. Or I don't have the right cut today. No, take a different cut, which is slightly smaller. So when I cut 200 grams, it's thicker, which means I can get it medium rare and I can still sear it on the outside for you, for example. Mm. You know, recently, I went to eat something quite, he had some special steak, Japanese tatori Wagyu thing, like, you know, expensive, so on and so forth. So I went like immediately, I went like, perfect, medium rare, and you know how I like it. He goes, no, you mustn't do that this time. Hmm. Trust me.
Okay.
Right? Do it this way. Have it medium because I need the fat to render down a little bit more. Now, this sounds like, you know, why am I talking about food or why am I promoting this particular? I'm not promoting this place. You go if you want to go. I go because I like going there. Now, the idea is, when you're connected, you can have conversations like that with your customers. Can you imagine if you're a business owner right now and the people who work for you and you can trust the people who work for you or work with you, your colleagues, to have these kinds of conversations with your customers? Man, your business is going to thrive. Now, from a personal point of view, I've always advocated and I keep saying your singular task at work is to add value to other people and consequently add value to yourself. How do you add value to yourself? You add value to yourself by being valuable to other people. When do you become valuable to other people? You're only valuable to other people when you are connected. If you're disconnected, and this is what's the pain of our life, disconnected people in restaurants, disconnected people in the government, disconnected government officials or civil servants, disconnected employees and employers. Do you know, I called a few days ago, and I only mentioned good ones. I try not to diss bad people
It's a tidak apa attitude.
Yeah, I called a few days ago because my wife and I wanted to have a spa treatment. So we called a particular spa at a whatever time, and the person speaking on the other end, and it's a high-end spa that charges you 200, 300 bucks for an hour. You know, so it's not one of your 50 ringgit, 60 ringgit spas, which is slightly cheaper. And when it's cheaper, sometimes you also expect the service standards to be less, for example. Although it shouldn't be, but we make excuses for that ourselves. And we go like, we're not so offended. But when it's 300 ringgit for a 1 hour spa, you go like, I expect you to speak to me nicely on the other end.
Of course.
Yeah. And the person on the other side, sweet, very nice, sweet lady talking to me on the other side, but just completely disconnected. Didn't know what she was talking about. Didn't have any idea of the treatments. Wasn't able to ask me the right questions. You know, can you imagine? I do the booking and finally I go like, I know we agree in the price. It's this, it's going to be this. I'm on a couple's room because, you know, my wife and I would like to do this together and I'd like a therapist who's like this. I'm giving all the things. Then she goes, okay, sir, see you later. And I go like, hang on a minute. Do you know what time I'm coming?
Ooh.
And she goes, oh, yeah. What time is your appointment? What time would you like? And I go like, can I come at 8? And they go like, oh, no, 8's not possible because I don't have that time. That was my first thing. My first question to that person on the phone was, my wife and I would like to come in for a 1.5 hour spa treatment this evening in a couple's room at 8 p.m. Are you available?
That was the first thing.
And I was very clear, and I speak very clearly usually when I'm, you know, unless I'm angry or, you know, goofing around. So I was on the phone, very clear. I said this. And she went, yes, sir. And then she asked me all the questions that were obviously her KPI questions. And then I went like, because I just knew that she didn't confirm that 8 p.m. thing to me.
Oh.
And so at the end, she went, okay, see you later. And I go like, do you know what time I'm coming? And she goes, oh, yeah. What time are you coming? I went, 8. And then she goes, oh, no, we're not available at 8. So now I've had a 15-minute conversation or an 8-minute conversation. That was a complete waste of my life because there was no availability that evening. Can you imagine this?
The Chinese say wasted saliva.
Absolutely. Wasted saliva, for example. So, do we work for money, for example? Do you know, are we connected to work for money? If somebody offered you $100 more, would you go?
Right.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Would you?
I wouldn't
go for $100 more. Somebody offered you $1,000 more, would you go?
Mm.
Don't know. Would you leave BFM for $1,000 more?
No, I don't think so.
But there will be a sum that I can go through with you right now and find at which point you'll go like, I leave. A month ago, I got a job offer. And I got a job offer. It was silly money. It was, absolutely silly money. It's what I refer to or call a once-in-a-lifetime offer. It was ridiculous amounts of money. I mean, like more money than I've ever imagined. More money than I will earn if I continue doing what I'm doing right now. Great job. Lots of travel. Business class travel all over the world. A kitty, a million, multi-million dollar, not ringgit, a multi-million dollar
kitty
to develop a particular division in a particular multinational company. That was my job. So not only did they pay me, were they offering me at the job with this great pay scale, but they also gave me a war chest to go and do as I please with it. Only proviso is I had to move. I had to leave Malaysia and I live somewhere else. Not very far away. I had to move to Singapore. That's all. And it was funny because I talked to my wife and she said, blah, blah, blah. We had our own conversations and she was very good. She made me, she made it absolutely clear that she will support whichever decision I take, which made my decision making much easier. Although I know that she needs to be here because that's where her business is. That was one part of it. Now, I speak to my dad. These are the people that I speak to about, important things like this. Many people come to me to talk about their job and stuff like that. I didn't have any conflict. I just wanted to run ideas by someone, and a couple of other friends I spoke to. Spoke to my dad. And my dad was like, yeah, you can do it for 3 years. Go. Yeah, shut EQTD, shut everything down, park it with other people, go. And your wife, no problem. Singapore only one.
Professor Sanjiram.
Every weekend you can. And then, my dad tells me that you know people who live in Singapore and work in Malaysia. We also know people who do this, right? Who come back and forth. I go, do that. Go and do that. Go and do this, And he went like, And then I had to spend a lot of time talking to him about being connected. Yeah. I said, I'm absolutely connected with what I do today. I run, six, seven businesses. I have about 60 people who depend on me in terms of employment on a monthly basis. And I make sure everybody's happy and everybody gets paid whatever I promise them or whatever they're worth or as close to whatever they're worth as I can. Right? And I inspire and engage these people around me. Now, this whole connectivity is what keeps you going. And I, therefore, turned down this once-in-a-lifetime job.
All right. So many. Ask them to speak to me. We'll continue our conversation after this. We're talking about getting connected to why you work with Shankar Sanjiram from EQTD Consulting. Stay tuned to Raise the Game, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
This is Raise Your Game on Enterprise. Good morning. Frida Liu here, Shankar Sanjiram from EQTD Training in our Success Consciousness series. It's our 10th session, Getting Connected to Why You Work. Of course, Shankar was sharing a little bit on about how, he chose to stay here and continue with these interviews. I think that was the main reason.
One of the reasons. How can I leave you?
Right. Yeah. And the reason you didn't take on the other job and it wasn't about money. And you're right. Money is not the only motivator for people. What other motivation factors influence why we work?
Well, I think one of the things that I do in my training programs and also coaching programs, I always ask people, let's take the amount of money that you earn every month. And how many percent of this money do you actually use for yourself? Just for yourself, right? And this question, the quantum usually varies on whether you have kids or you don't have kids, married, single, so on and so forth, how old you are and things. But by and large, this is the feedback I get. It's not any science. It's a dipstick analysis, which I've been doing for years and years and years. But for most people, the bulk of the people, I would imagine 80, 90% of the population, we tend to only use about between 20 to 30% of the money that we earn for ourselves, for our own needs.
Okay.
And when I talk about ourselves here, I literally mean things like, the house that you live in, it's not for you. Mm. I mean, if it's just you, you don't need that house. I don't need the house I live in right now if I was on my own. It's just a sheer waste of space if I was there, because I'm not living in the five bedrooms that I live in. I just don't move around. My life becomes so much more smaller. The car that you drive, for example, is not just for you. It's for your family. I mean, you don't tell your son, you know, kick him out of the car and say, take the bus because the car is mine and you can't use it, you know. And many of the things that we actually do, our life becomes so much smaller and tighter and less expensive if you are alone. The reason why we need all the things we need is we need to provide for people around us, and not just provide at a very rudimentary level. We want to provide them the best that we can. And then we also think about the future. We need more income to come in. We buy insurance for that reason. We save money for that. We buy properties, not one, but two. If we have three kids, we try and buy three properties because we want to leave one each for each of them. For example, these are the types of normal behavior that people do. On a daily basis, every morning, we hear various investment experts coming and talking on BFM about what you should do with your money and how you should invest it. If you're on your own and, you know, whatever your spiritual beliefs are, when you die, you know, you die. Nah. You know what I mean? So you live and you're happy, right? So when you think about this, what motivates us to do what we do? Our family is an important part of what we do. The fact that we need to generate lifestyle options for ourselves is a great motivator. So often I tell people that things like, and this is what sales-driven organizations do. For example, insurance companies. I work with life insurance companies, and I find their methods quite, you know, interesting sometimes. Some might say cliched or hokey, but I find it quite interesting. Often at the beginning of the year, there will be a discussion on, you know, meeting certain targets. And if you meet these targets, we'll take you to Las Vegas. We'll take you to New York, or we'll take you here. We'll do this. And then every morning when they come into work, they all go into a room and they do a bit of a rah-rah session for 10, 15 minutes or 5 minutes before they get out. Now, you and I, as intelligent people, might go like, Apani, you know, you're wasting my time doing this. But I find that is a connector for people on a daily basis, because on the days when you have your downtime, you come in, you go like, you know what, I want to go to Hawaii, so I'm going to go and make that appointment right now. You know, I'm going to do that. People go and take photographs of themselves, for example, in a car, and say, that's the car I want. Yeah. You and I, for example, I know what motivates the both of us. We are very similar in our motivation. We like traveling, for example. We truly enjoy travel. So everything we do, for example, we take on projects that might be harder than, or make our life a little bit more complicated and harder. You know, someone comes and says, write a book for me. Yeah. And then you go like, how much are you going to pay me? And you go like, yeah, fine, I'm going to take that. You know why? Because I'm going to use that money to go to Spain.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a story. Like I remember from someone telling me, for example, you know, and this is what I get back from loads of people. Mm. That the moment they are connected with something that motivates them, and that motivation can be really small. For me, Manchester United is a motivator. Going and watching Manchester United play twice or three times a year is a big motivator, because every trip costs me as an individual 10,000, 12,000 ringgit to go there. I need that extra 20,000 to 30,000 ringgit a year outside my living expenditure and my investments and my savings and my kind of, you know, my operational stuff to do this. So where do I find that? I got to get up and work a little bit more. And this connection. So what motivates you? Self-realization and self-actualization motivates you. Mm-hmm. We like when people think that we're good at what we do. Mm-hmm. Another thing that motivates me is, you know, Frida, you and I were invited last week to go and moderate a panel session at the Malaysian Institute of Accountants Congress. You know, loads of people, best, you know, I'm not an accountant, neither are you. I mean, you know, I can hardly count. You know what I mean? But I was invited to moderate a panel with some great speakers. You know, a few weeks before that, the another organization, CPA Australia, invited me to come. And I'm sitting with like all these, you know, big people. And I'm going like, what I like is the fact that people ask me to come and do this because they feel I know how to do this. So it is an actualization of a skill, right? And the actualization is my actualization that I can do it. And the other part of it is the realization that, wow, this is a value that I'm adding. The moment you think you're adding value, that becomes a tremendous motivator for people. BFM, for example, people who come and work here are truly connected with this organization, don't want to leave this company. Sometimes they should not, but, you know, don't want to leave this company for years and years and years, because being connected to this particular industry, this particular job, but more importantly, this particular radio station elevates them and adds tremendous value to themselves and gives them the credibility that they're craving for. So what motivates us outside money? Self-realization in terms of, you know, that we're good at what we do, praise from people around us, and then the simple little things in life like going to Manchester to watch Manchester United, or traveling, or buying a new car. These are things that actually motivate us if we know. But the foundation of all of that, what is the motivator? Understanding that we only use about 20% to 30% of our income for ourselves. The rest goes to our family.
Okay.
You know, a tremendous amount of what you earn, I know, will go towards keeping your son happy and making sure that there is a future for him. You know, you work towards that.
Right. What advantages does getting connected to your work give you? And I guess you sort of semi-answered. It's called Manchester United.
when you get connected, you can measure.
Mm.
That's the, like for me, I get connected to my work and the measurement is that I get invited more often.
Mm.
You know, at the time when you tell me, you know what, Chaka, I don't want to see you anymore at BFM, then I go like, oh, maybe I'm not so good anymore. That's why, you know, I have to revamp the way I do things or I might have to change my attitude. When I find that regular customers don't invite me back again to run training programs or coaching sessions for them, then I reevaluate my own, you know, my own modalities of work or whether I've improved myself or not or whether I have become stale along the way. So what does being connected give you? What it gives you is an awareness of how to measure your own success. That's the first thing, which is important because most of us plod along life without an understanding. We chug away without knowing what is the benchmark for ourselves. You know, we just get up, go to work. We do work now. I mean, and then we get into fights with people regularly. I think I'm doing my best, what? What do you mean I'm not doing my best? You know, and then I think you're asking me, you know, how many times have you heard people that you lead tell you you're being unreasonable to me? And you think I'm being completely reasonable. Dude, what do you mean I'm being unreasonable? This isn't my expectation. It's a mismatch of expectations. When you're not connected, you will not be aware of expectations. The second thing, being connected, is it gets you to get to work enthusiastically. You need to get up and come to work properly, you know, or whatever you do, whatever you do. I wake up in the morning and I'm happy that I'm waking up that morning and I want to do things. And I know so many people, every Monday, Facebook is full of Monday morning blues. What? It's another day of work. I know you never do it. You and I are friends. I don't do it. You don't do it.
I love Mondays.
Everyone listening out there, I want you to think about the most successful people you know. Go to their Facebook page and look at Mondays. Do they actually write stuff that you write sometimes? You know, oh my God, it's a Monday. And then people are so excited it's Friday. And people are so excited there's an extended weekend. I mean, like, you know, for the last 2 months, I've been so annoyed because we've had Fridays off and Mondays off and people take extra leave. And I'm going, but I want to do things. I want to do things. You know what I mean? And you're all blocking my doing along the way. You know, not you all. I mean, the government is blocking my doing by giving me public holidays. Come on, man. You know?
Unless I'm on a holiday, then that's okay.
Well, it's okay. But you see, when you reach what should we all be aspiring to?
Right.
We should be aspiring to go on holiday when no one else is on holiday. I mean,
yes.
The worst thing is to, you know, when I want to go to Penang to visit my folks, right? I like driving up, so it means I can stop and eat my wonton mee along the way and, you know, have my durian and do all sorts of other things, which is an event for me. But I try not to because every holiday that works for me, my wife, and my parents, my dad still works, is a public holiday weekend. That's when I know everyone is around. And it's not cool, man.
Yeah.
It's because you sit for 7 hours, 8 hours in the traffic, and what do you want? The holy grail for you to go on holiday is to go when nobody else is on holiday. Then you have the beach to yourself. Then you have the street to yourself, then you have your chakwe dia guy to yourself. You know, it's nice, it's lovely to be able to do that, but you need to work yourself into a position to do that, and that's what you need to be focusing on. Will you get there? God knows. I can't promise you that you're going to get there, but what I can tell you is the more effort and energy you put into that, the more likely it is that you're going to get there. So that's the next thing.
And I guess at the end of the day, you know, it'd be one behavioral change or, you know, the right behavior. So how do people behave when they're connected with the work they're doing?
So if they're connected with the work that they're doing, that lady I called who answered the phone call at the spa, she would have been like Yusuf, the butcher, the master griller that I talked to you about. And that's what becomes. I give you a really much easier example, much more relevant, really interesting example for me. I run a lot of my coaching sessions at Tropicana Mall, one of the coffee places there. It's a good place to sit and eat. So I do a lot of my shopping there. My favorite Nando's is there, my favorite, you know, Rakuzen. The Japanese restaurant is there. I go to Sasa to buy my, I go to Uniqlo. This is where I shop. This is what I do. It's like almost like my local mall, right? So now recently I found out that I don't, you know, if I want to buy some specialist food, I can go to, there's a grocer there called Olive Tree or something. I'm not sure. Oliver. I'm not sure. I don't even know what the name is right now. But the other day I go in there and I'm looking for white fish. Right, so I want white fish. So I don't want your mackerels, and I don't want your bawal putih and bawal. I'm looking for some. I want Dover sole. I'm looking for halibut. I'm looking for wild flounder. these are the types of things that I'm looking for. So I go in there, and there's the three guys working behind, and they're all local. They're all local Malaysians, Malaysian Malays working behind. And there's one guy, and they're upselling to me. Yeah, sir, chubuni, try this, buy that, do this, do that, right? So I'm going like, I want this, I want that. So finally he goes like, you know what I have? I have halibut. Right, I go, fine. So I look at the halibut, like, oh, but it doesn't look so cool. You know, it doesn't look like something which is nice. He goes like, and he looks at me and goes like, you're right. This is not. And if you're going to eat simple pieces that you're going to steam or you're going, this is not good for you. Give me your phone number. This is the guy I want. Give me your phone number. I'll take your phone number. My name is Saiful. Give me your phone number. And what I will do is, as soon as I have a new delivery of flounder or wild sole, in fact, I'll call my supplier and see whether it's got wild sole or not. Man, I'm just like one guy out of one person, one punter out of the hundreds of thousands that go in there. And this is the fishmonger in this place who looks at me. And I kid you not, the next morning I get a message from him, a WhatsApp message from him with photos of all the fish that have arrived. And he goes, I got you the wild sole. I got wild sole, a little bit of the expensive side, but, you know, I think this is what you want. It's really fresh. I'm checking it out. He writes to me in broken English.
Yeah.
But, you know, the effect is I'm looking at the gills. They're good. They're very nice. I think this will be perfect for you. Shall I put it aside for you? Do you want to come and collect it? And I'm like, and I told myself, why can't everybody be like Saiful? This guy who is a fishmonger in a supermarket, not even running his own business. He's an employee there. You know, and I went straight to him. I bought the stuff. I offered him a job. and he laughed at me. He said, I really like what I do. And I go, like, think about it. Gave him my card and said, like, dude, you have to come and work with me, please. Because I really need people like you working for me, with me, together with me. Come, you can give me instructions because I will take it from you. So what does being connected do to you? It makes you better. You know, it makes you better, it makes you valuable, and people won't disrespect you. And suddenly you will find, like magic, you'll have more money and you'll have more opportunities and you'll have more jobs and you will stop whining. And on Monday, you will not actually be putting out that, oh my God, I've got the Monday blues. You're an idiot if you do that. Do you know what I mean? That's really what I want to tell people. Stop that, you know, and get connected.
And then Saiful will be getting a lot of job offers now.
Absolutely. I hope he does. I hope he does. And whatever, you know what? He's worth it.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the thing. The worth comes from your personal value. And your personal value is when you become valuable to other people. So what does being connected do? It gets you value.
Shankar Santharam from EQTD Consulting. He'll be back for the third Monday of the month. Of course, this is our Success Consciousness series. You've been listening to Race a Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.